Welcome to the Life Podcast. We're so glad that you are joining us for another hope-filled message. And our prayer is that you are encouraged by this powerful Sunday sermon.
Oh man, it is so good to be here with you all. It's so good. Paul and Marie have been friends of ours for, I think, 40 years. We met them and we said, we want to afflict our friendship on them. We chose them. I want you to know that. We just went, we're going to be your friends, whether you like it or not. And the reason why we're still in the ministry, loving God, happily married, my wife and I, for 40 years. I'd say I've been happily married 38 out of the 40 years. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? That's because I'm such a jerk and she's so perfect. So it's so good to be here with you, Paul and Marie. Love you so much. You are dear friends. And we are doing ministry life today because of you. Luke and Missy, my gosh, how many love Luke and Missy? Aren't they just go from strength? You see something about what the Bible talks about. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is a generationally minded God. And you see what God's doing here. It is just nothing short of amazing. Turn to the person next to you, look them right in the eye, and say, seriously, if you were any better looking, I'd kiss you right now. And then you can be seated. That was your moment, guys. To see all that God is doing here is nothing short of miraculous. Sharon and I, probably about 6 months ago, knew that Paul was due to have his last treatment this last week. So we just said, we're flying over. We want to be with you during that last treatment. And I got to tell you, I've watched not just them, but I've watched you walk a journey of faith that is to be commended, what God is doing. It's nothing short of a miracle. And God's not done yet. Can anybody say amen? And it's in light of that, of just all that you as a church have walked through on behalf of Miracles for Others, I really feel like the Holy Spirit prompted me to bring this message. It's called Taking New Ground. And how many know that God always has new ground for us? Like, for instance, how many of you here have children? Can I see your hand? You have children. Okay, praise the Lord. Some parents, because you have children, are so tired, you couldn't even lift your hand. Who are those parents? Who are those? Yeah. So have a look at the scripture here. We'll get started. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. And it says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best of the land. I love it because it's actually, first of all, notice the word if. It's conditional. If you are willing and obedient. For those of us who have kids and you tell them, you know, put the rubbish out. And they go, okay, I will. So there's the willingness, but how many know willingness is one thing, obedience is another. So they'll say next commercial or in about 5 minutes, and they never get around to the obedience. So you have to help them become obedient. And some parents go, well, I'll just take the willingness, we'll work on the obedience. But probably what is just as bad is maybe if you say to your son or your daughter, put out the rubbish, and they're obedient, but their willingness isn't there. You always get me to do this. Why don't you ask anybody else? It's always me. Anybody have that child? Know that child? Anybody that child right there? And so God puts this thing where if you are willing and obedient. I've always wanted to make sure that our kids weren't just willing, but they were obedient. I wanted to make sure they weren't just obedient, but they were willing. You hearing me? God puts these two together and he goes, if you are that person, you will eat the best of the land. And so some people actually get average. Some people just get just enough, but God wants the best for you. And I want to take you to Exodus for a moment because here God is speaking about taking the children of Israel into the promised land. He goes, it's a land that flows with milk and honey. It does not say a land that flows with milk and honeys. It says a land that flows with milk and God's promising them, what's this? New land. And I believe prophetically that God has new land for you. For some of you who are believing God had children and you're being told it's not possible, there's some new ground for you. But if you're believing God to buy a house here in New Zealand and in Auckland, dear God, that would be a miracle in and of itself. Amen. But God has new land for you. God has new ground for you. Maybe you're believing God for a promotion in your job. Or maybe you believe in your family, or maybe it's in your own personal health. There's new ground to be taken. You can take new ground today. God has new ground for you. Can you say amen? So Exodus 23, let's go. I will send my terror ahead of you. This is God preparing the way for the children of Israel to go into the promised land. And I will throw into confusion every nation you encounter. And I will make all your enemies turn their backs and run. How many receive that in Jesus' name? And I will send the hornets ahead of you. And I will drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Termites, the Hittites. I will drive them all out of your way. But watch this now. But I will not drive them out in a single year. It says, because the land will become desolate and wild animals too numerous for you. God says, I've got new ground for you. I've got new land for you. And I want to give it all to you. But I can't give it to you all at once. You would be overwhelmed. You would be outnumbered. God has great things for us. Amen? God has great things for you. And the Bible talks about an inheritance gained too quickly can bring a person to ruins. So God says, look what he does. He goes, but I will not drive them out in a single year because the land will become too desolate and the wild animals too numerous. Little by little, I love that, I will drive them out before you. Watch, until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. God said, I've got it all for you, but I won't give it to you all at once because you'd be overwhelmed by it. It'll be too much too soon. So as you increase, as you learn to handle what I've given you today, then I'll have more for you in the future. And he goes, so I'll give it to you today, little by little, but he goes, until you have, watch, increased. In other words, you can handle what God has for you. And when you learn to get good at what God's given you, he has more for you. Can you say amen? So I think about that. I think about you believing God to buy a house and you're renting a house. Well, what's the point of taking care of the house that's not ours? It's someone else's. Until you learn to look after what is someone else's, God can't give you your own. You believe in God for new clothes, but you don't hang the clothes you have up. Amen? You believe in God for a new car. But if you washed your old car, the only thing holding it together is the dirt. So we got to learn how to look after what he's given us, be thankful for what he has given us, and then he'll have more. Come on, somebody say amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, that was for someone else. That wasn't for us. So I wrote down a few areas that I believe for you as a church, individually, that God has new ground for you. I believe that for some of you, it's in the realm of your finances. I believe, you know, some people say, I'm believing God. A lot, you know, people say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? I'm believing God. I want this. And I go, okay, how about we're going to pray for your finances? Are you giving? Are you a faithful sower into the house of God? If you can't be faithful there, you haven't increased enough. Oh, it got very quiet there, didn't it? Okay, I'll get off that one. Maybe family. You're believing God for family. Maybe you're single today. And you're believing God to meet Mr. Wright or Mrs. Wright. Well, all you need to concentrate is work on you today and make you the best you can be. So when God does bring that person, you are the person that is deserving of that other person. You just work on you. Don't be thinking the answer is always out there. The answer is working on yourself. Amen? Maybe today it's in the area of fitness. I mean, 2 years ago when I was about 58, I decided I've got not with channel. I have 9 grandchildren now. Praise the Lord. I know what you're all thinking. We don't look old enough to have 9 grandchildren. And you're right. We don't. And I love it. It's God's reward for not killing your kids. My daughter was a real health freak and she still is, but she was really like determined, no sugar, no sweets for the kids. And, you know, her firstborn child, 1 year of age, had his first birthday. And she was so excited that he'd never eaten ice cream in his life. 1 year old. And she brought an ice cream birthday cake for Jax. And she goes, Dad, look at this. I can't wait to see the look on his face. He goes, it'll be the first time he's ever eaten ice cream. And I said, sweetheart, he's had ice cream. I know the look that you're about to see. Oh, taste and see that granddad is good. Amen? And so, I don't know, maybe you believe in God. For me, I've lost weight. I've kept the weight off. But I decided I want to take my health and my fitness for some new ground. I'm believing God for longevity. I'm believing God for long life in Jesus' name. So I just decided, well, what do I need to do to take that new ground? I need to look after what God's given me. So 2 years ago, I got really serious. I started going to the gym. I still do 4 days a week for an hour and 20 minutes, 4 days a week. Just before I came here, Sharon hates me telling this story, but I'm going to tell it as often as I can. The doctor said, you put me through this whole, like an executive health test, 2 hours. It was ridiculous. Run, breathe, step, jump, you know, memory recollection. And finally, you know, body mass index, weight, skeletal weight. She goes, Steve, you have gained 2 pounds of muscle weight and lost 5 pounds of body fat. And she goes, you have the strength. And it was all grip strength test and all these. She goes, you have the strength of a 35-year-old man. And I said, thank you. But doc, what I heard you say is I have the body of a 35-year-old. Praise the Lord. So I don't know what the new ground is, but what do you need to do until you have increased enough? Amen. Maybe for you, it's in your business. You're believing God for new, and I'm believing with you. But here's how God brings new ground to us. Number one, we've got to pass the God test. And God doesn't test us so we fail. God tests us to prove what is in us. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. God has created you and God has created you to be a winner. Of those 40 million sperm that race for the egg, you won. You were born a winner. Amen? And I want to encourage you today. I want to say to you, God is not testing you for failure. He's testing you to prove that you've got what it takes, that he does have new ground for you. There is more for you in your future in Jesus' name. So here's what the test looked like. Genesis 39, and look what the Bible says here. Just let's go there together. And where am I? Genesis 39. There we are. Verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. And when his master saw the Lord was with him, that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his whole household. He entrusted everything to his care that he owned. And from that time, he says, he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned. The Lord blessed the house of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had. Watch this, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in charge of Joseph's care. And with Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except for the food he ate. But here's the test. Joseph, I'm going to give you a dream. One day, you'll be the most powerful leader, second only to Pharaoh, in the entire world. I will cause that even your own family will show reverence and bow down to you. That the sun and the moon, and actually, if you read the fulfillment of this test, of this dream that God gave Joseph, Joseph became the second most powerful man in the world. You hearing me? But God had to get him to a place of readiness. So the first thing God does, he allows Joseph's brothers to sell him off as a slave because they hate him because of his dream. And here is Joseph. He's not singing the blues. Nobody knows. He's got this dream to be this great leader. And now, listen, he's a slave in an Egyptian's house. What's that about? But I want to tell you, you couldn't take the dream away from Joseph. And he started acting like his dream. He started acting like a leader. So much so that Potiphar looks at this guy and says, this guy's good. I don't need to worry about anything I give him to do. He gets the job done. Maybe you feel like right now you're in a job and you feel like you're worth more money. You feel like you should have a better job until you get good and get your attitude right about where you are. God can't give you more until you have increased enough. Amen. And I want to encourage you today. Don't just be, maybe today, all you do right now is you flip burgers at McDonald's. Then you be the best burger flipper there ever flipping existed. And you flip burgers for the flipping glory of God, and God will promote you. You get good, I'm worth more money. I should have more time off. I want this, I want that. No, no, no. You take the spirit of Joseph, you pass the test, you're good at where you are, and God will see to it that he's got new ground for you. Come on, somebody say amen. Look at this. In Genesis 39, Joseph now, of course, you know, Potiphar's wife liked Joseph, and she said, come on, man, let's get him on. This is desperate housewives back in that day. And Joseph goes, no, no, he's a man of integrity. He's passing the test of morality. But she's embarrassed and humiliated. And she says to the husband, he tried to rape me, and the husband puts him in jail. And look what happens to Joseph in the jail. Meanwhile, he's got this dream. Sun, the moon, the stars, it's all going to bow and worship him. And now he's gone from slavery to prison. This is not really on your way to your dream. It says, but while Joseph was in prison, the Lord showed him kindness and granted favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those who were in the prison. A prisoner is in charge of the prison. How'd that happen? Because this man had a dream. He created a demand for his leadership. Did you hear that? And so the warden put him in charge of all those who were in the prison and made him responsible for all that was done. The warden, I love this, paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Listen, I wonder whether at work, if your boss wasn't there, would you be as diligent as if he was? Because here, the warden paid no attention. He goes, if Joseph's got it, it's good. Amen? Like, can you get to work on time? Oh, that got very quiet. Can you get to church on time? Oh, we won't go there, will we? Some of my pastors, they go, Pastor Steve, we need to rebuke people who come to church every week, the same people. Anyone can be late for church any day of the week for any reason, right? But when you're perpetually always late, then maybe there's a bit of a story there. Amen? And so you need to tell people. I mean, you know, at 15 minutes through the worship, then all of a sudden the whole back area of the auditorium fills up. You need to rebuke those people. And I say to them, leave them alone. You stop picking on them. I'm just glad they come to church. And I say, I honestly think God honors the petrol they use to get to church. I'm surprised you come at all. Thank you for coming. And of course, everybody who's late go, yeah, Pastor, we love you. And I say this, just remember this, whatever you sow, you shall reap. So if you're always late coming to God's house, don't be surprised God's late answering your prayers. Praise the Lord. So you didn't like that. We'll just get off that. Can you be trustworthy out of sight? Amen. Can you be somebody who works and gets to work on time? Can you give it your best? God has new ground, but we've got to increase enough. Are you hearing me? He won't give us what's next until we learn to take dominion over what he's given us. I love it. God uses busy people. You want to get something done? Don't give it to somebody who's got all this free time in their hands. Give it to somebody who's already busy, because they've already figured out how to create momentum and they learn how to get things done. God uses busy people. I want to show you somebody here. This guy here, I am fixated on this guy at the moment. I think Wave Church want me to get off this guy. I've been on this guy for about 6 months. His name is Abraham. And look what the Bible says in Genesis 22. You want to talk about a test? God tested Joseph by putting him in slavery, put him in a prison that ultimately gave him the new ground that he had for it. God has new ground for you. And look what the Bible says here about Abraham in Genesis 22. Later, God tested Abraham. Everybody say, God tested Abraham. He tested him. How did he test him? Abraham, here am I, he replied. Then God said, go take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac. Go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain. I will show you. I love the next verse. Look at this. Early the next morning. What? God says, go take your son, your only son, whom you love. The means of which I made a promise to you that you will be the father of many nations. You take that boy and you're to sacrifice him early the next morning. I wonder how quick we are to obey when God gives us these requests. It says, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took these two servants and his son Isaac. And when he cut enough wood from the burnt offering, the Bible says, okay, I'll go over here then. Praise the Lord. Okay. Oh, there it is. He set out from the place God told him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. And I love what happens next. The next verse, he said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, watch, and then we will come back to you. Stop. What was Abraham doing? He was going to sacrifice his son and kill him. And he says to his servants, you stay here, we're going over there. We will worship and we will return to you. Did you hear that? I love this. Look what happens here. So it says, they took the burnt offering, placed it on the son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire, and the two of them went off together. And I love what happens next. Isaac spoke up and said to the father, hey, Dad. Yes, my son, Abraham, brother. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said. But where's the lamb? Where's the offering? And look at Abraham's response. Abraham replied, God himself will supply. I mean, he could have just said, kid, you're it. But Abraham said, we will go and worship. We will come back. This is the test. God's testing him. Not testing him to fail him, but testing him. And that says, the Lord will supply. And the two of them went off together. I love this. Look at verse 9. When they reached the place God told them about, Abraham built an altar there, arranged the wood on it, bound his son. And I think it's amazing. It doesn't say Isaac resisted. It doesn't say Isaac tried to crawl off the altar. It makes it very clear. Isaac's just laying there going, all right, Dad, whatever you think's good. And when they preached the place that God told him about, he built an altar, and it says, and he put Isaac on the altar on top of the wood. Look at the next verse. It says, then he reached his hand and took the knife to slay his son, but the angel of the Lord called out from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. He said, do the boy no harm. Don't do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Some of us, the way in which we get new ground is we make sure we don't worship more what God's given us than who he is. God said, Abraham, give me the promise. The promise was not just a son. The promise was an offspring. And I want to know, do you worship me more than you do your son? Sometimes we worship what God's given us more than what who he is. And God has a way of testing us. There's only one problem with living sacrifices. Do you know the problem with a living sacrifice? They can crawl off the altar. And we've got to be willing to give to God what he's given us. Can you say amen? But I want to show you the real essence of this story, because the essence of the story isn't really found there. It's found in Genesis 15 when Abraham's name was Abram. And the Bible says in Genesis 15, I love these verses, because this is what we are known in a Bible scholar world. It's called the Abrahamic covenant. It's an unconditional covenant. And God says, no matter what, Abraham, you do, you won't blow this. I will keep my covenant to you unconditionally. And this is what it looks like, Genesis 15. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count them. Count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And then he said, so shall your offspring be. See, the promise wasn't just Isaac. It was generations. Matter of fact, do you realize that you and I are of the seed and the faith of Abraham? Okay. So it says, and he said, so shall your offspring. Abram believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Ur and the Chaldeans to give you this land. There it is again. God has new land for you to take possession of it. But Abraham said, Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? And the Lord said to him, bring me a heifer, that's a cow. Bring me a cow and a goat and a ram, each 3 years old, along with the dove and the pigeons. And Abram brought them to him, and he cut them in two and arranged two halves opposite each other. And the birds, however, he did not cut in half. And then, verse 11, the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. I want to give you a picture. I want you to, just for a moment here, Just imagine Abram getting this cow and cutting the cow in two, the carcass. That's a lot of work, by the way. For anyone, just think about that, will be difficult. And so half of the cow carcass is on this side, and the other half of the cow carcass is on this side. And God says to Abram, you walk through between the two pieces, and as you walk through it, I will walk with you, and I will make you the father of many nations. I'm making a promise for you today. I've got new ground for you. And the Bible says when Abram walked through that, birds, ravens, started coming down out of the trees and picking. Of course, that's what birds do, don't they? They come and they see a carcass, of course. You ever seen, you know, some roadkill on the side of the road? The birds love to come in and just pick away and eat the meat. But Abraham, the Bible says, if you read another story, it says he drove them away from midnight till dawn. He would not let a single bird, a raven, feed out and take away from the promise God gave him. You are not eating off the promise God gave me. You are not going to in any way reduce or diminish the promise God gave me. Some of you, to get your new ground, you've got to actually chase away the birds. You can't let the thoughts of this world and the worries of this world, maybe even a diagnosis that the doctor said or the bank manager said, or maybe in the natural, you're looking at your marriage, you're looking at your finances, and things try to pick away at the promise. You got to chase away the birds. Come on, somebody. You got to chase them away. It was a bit like watching Pastor Paul this week as he's got all this nice grass out in his backyard, and these birds love to come in and pick at the grass and eat away it, and it all looks kind of mangy grass where the birds are. And I was watching your pastor shooing away the birds. The funny thing is those birds will be back and they will win. Praise the Lord. They will. That's just what it's going to be. But I want to encourage you. You've got to chase away anything that tries to diminish the promise God has given you. Maybe right now your son and your daughter aren't walking with God, and right now it looks really bad. And I want to tell you, you can't let the thoughts of this world to get the better of you. You've got to keep chasing away the birds to try to take away from the promise God has given you. Turn to the person next to you and say, that was for you. It wasn't for me. That was for you. Here's the second thought. If you're going to take new ground, and God has new ground for you, whatever that new ground is, it's for you. And I believe that's true also for you as a church. And if we're going to take new ground, how many know we got to think bigger? We got to make sure that we think big thoughts. We got to make sure we pray big prayers. Prayers that are worthy of God answering. Too many of us, we're going, God, help me find a parking spot. And that's all we can pray. I know it's Christmas time. I know there's a lot of people there shopping. Lord, when I get to them all, let there be a spot right by the door where I don't have to walk a mile to get. And that's the biggest prayer we got. Listen to Psalm 2, verse 8. Ask of me, says the Lord, and I'll give you nations. Nations. In case you didn't hear it, nations. And we're asking God for a parking spot. Lord, help me get over my bad temper. God wants to give you nations. And we're asking God to help us with that temper. I got to tell you, we got to think bigger. Some Christians, their brain is on the pill. They haven't given birth to a new idea in years. When was the last time you did something for the first time? I want to encourage us. We got to think bigger. Think about what's happening in our world right now. In Russia, Russia is trying to take the Ukraine. In China right now wants to take Taiwan. We see Hamas trying to eradicate Israel off the place, off the face of the earth. There's all these people that want nations. And God says the only people who will give it to is the church. But we're the only one that doesn't want it. God will give us nations. Come on, when was the last time you prayed for the nations? When was the last time you prayed a prayer that was big enough and bold enough where actually it was worthy on the nature and the power and the ability of God? When was the last time you called on the resources of heaven? Look at James, Jesus, our brother. I think he might have something to say about this. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires, from the battle within you? You desire, but you don't have. You kill. It says, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and fight. You don't have because you don't ask. And when you do ask, you don't ask because you've asked with wrong motives, so that you may spend on what you get on your own pleasures. I love this. God says you don't have because you don't ask. And I learned a phrase from your pastor, and he said, you've got to learn to get your ask on. You've got to ask God. When was the last time you asked God for something? Amen? And we got to think big. And we got to believe big. God wants to give us nations. This church is touching the world. And we got to think big in Jesus' name. Look what Jesus says. I love this. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. To one who seeks, finds. The one who knocks, the door will be open. Did you hear that? See, here's the thought. Sometimes you ask a question just for a few people, okay? So here's a question. How many remember the Avon lady? Put your hand in the air if you remember the Avon. Come on, don't be afraid. Put your hand in the air. Young people, look, fossils. Okay, do you remember the commercial? Do you remember the commercial of the Avon lady? I don't know if you had it here in New Zealand, but in Australia, I remember as clear as day. The Avon lady, this is how the song goes. I'm going to knock on your door, ring on your bell, tap on your window too. I'm going to knock and ring and tap and knock and ring and tap until you do. And God is saying, we got to be like the Avon lady. Ask, knock, seek, and go on seeking. The Avon lady is going to knock on your door. She's going to ring on your bell. She's going to tap on your window. And God is saying the same thing here. We got to learn to ask. And we have not because we ask not. Amen. Look at this, Luke chapter 18. This is Jesus telling this great parable. He says, Jesus told the dirty dozen a parable. And to show them that they should always pray and never to give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God or cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with this plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused. He says, just go away. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me. Could you imagine what this widow sounded like? That this unjust judge said this, I'm afraid that eventually she'll come and she'll attack me. So he didn't give her justice because she should have got justice. He gave her justice because he was trying to preserve his own self-interest of her not turning on him. It was only ever about protecting himself. But finally, because of the persistence of this widow, he gives her justice. Now look what Jesus says. I love this. It says, I love this. Oh, come here. Then the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Here's what God's saying. We got to learn to get persistent. I got a real simple key for young people. If you want to be that little bit more successful than your average person today, you just got to do that little bit more than everybody else. You just got to be willing to be a little bit more resilient. And here in prayer, we got to learn to get to not give up. Ask, go on asking. Seek, and go on seeking. I actually think, you know, when Daniel prayed, and it says he prayed for 21 days. And imagine after 5 days of praying, no answered prayer. You think, oh, well, that's enough. Couldn't have been God's will. Not Daniel. He kept praying. The Bible says after a week of prayer, he kept praying. Persistent. 2 weeks of prayer, 14 days. He kept praying. 21 days of prayer. Then all of a sudden, zoom, the angel appears. And Daniel actually says, where have you been? And the angel says something that I think is so disturbing to me. He goes, as you prayed, it gave me the strength to fight through the powers of Persia, the principality and the power of the air. Daniel, each day you prayed, I kept breaking through. And on the 21st day, because you were persistent and you were faithful day and night, here I am to tell you, the Lord is going to give you what you prayed for. And I get to heaven, I don't want to get to heaven and have an angel go, come here, Steve, we need to talk. You stopped praying after 3 weeks, and I was just about to give you a breakthrough. I did all that fighting and yet couldn't give you what it was you prayed for because you stopped praying. What are you asking God for? God has new ground for you. But I believe we need to learn how to be persistent. Can you say amen? Look at this verse. I'm going to land. Singers, musicians, come on back. You guys are awesome. Look what the Bible says in Ephesians 3, verse 20. It says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, oh, actually, let's read this verse, who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine according to the power that is at work within us. I love the King James. It says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above anything we could ask or think according to the power that is at work within you. Listen to me. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ever ask or think. So if your asking and thinking is here, God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all. Imagine if your thinking is here. Because God's going to go, I need a ladder to get up now. Exceeding. Can I just encourage you, life, for your lives individually and for you as a church? God has new ground for you. And I'm speaking to some people today. God has got miracles and got breakthrough, but you've got to make sure that you do the work of what you need to do. Be good at what God's given you. Take care of what he's given you, and God will bring the increase in Jesus' name. You got to pass the test, and you got to think bigger thoughts. Give a Lord a hand if you receive it. Come on. I remember one time I said to my wife, I saw this Toyota 4Runner. And for some reason, I quite like, we were sitting in our younger days. And I said, Sharon, one day, I'm going to drive one of those cars. I'm going to have one of those cars. Sharon looked at me. She goes, I know you. You'll end up in one. But you got to see it. And we got it one day. And within a week of owning it, I didn't realize that the passenger door was left open. And I reversed out of my driveway and hit a tree. Clean ripped the door right off its hinges. And I went, okay, Lord, I don't worship what you've given me. Thank you, Lord. The next week, some bikers, well, actually, it wasn't some gang guys, and we lived in Penrith, threw a steel bar at my car. I was so mad. I was like, oh, man. And I got out and I saw this big dent on the side of my brand new car that God gave me, I might add. I've already ripped the door clean off its hinges, and now I got it back, and now this happened. And all these bikers said, we saw the guys who did it. And they said, come on, let's go get them. I said, yeah. I let bikers in my car. And we're driving down to these guys. And I'm thinking, what did I just do? I've got four Hell's Angels in my car. I'm thinking, this is a setup. They're going to kill me. And so we get down to where these guys are. And this guy's got a steel bar in his hand. And they all jump out. Did you throw a steel bar at his car? I'm feeling pretty brave. I got some hands. They might be heaven's angels for all I know. I said, yeah, did you? And this guy with the bar in his hand, big dent in my car, no. So they begin to beat the living daylights out of these guys. And I'm thinking, thank you, Lord. Then I'm thinking, oh, they're hurting them. And I'm thinking, I should probably stop them. But then I thought, why would I stop them? And I said, guys, that's enough. Stop, stop, please stop. I mean, I think they've learned their lesson. Got to pass the test. And I just said, it's just a car. That's all it is. Don't worship the car. Can I encourage you? God wants to give you the best of the Lamb. He's got his best for you. Don't pray mediocre prayers. If you are willing and obedient, you'll eat the best. God doesn't want average. He's not a God of just near enough. He wants the best. Now, your best may not be someone else's best, but it's God's best for you. Amen? I'm speaking to someone today. You're believing God for a house. Come on. If you're willing and obedient. Someone today, you're believing God to have children. I believe right now, God's giving you a miracle. Right now. Right now, faith is entering your heart. Maybe the doctor's told you it's impossible. I'm going to say to you today, in Jesus' name, you will have a child. I'm speaking it today over your life in Jesus' name. believing God for a new job, believing God for whatever it is that you are believing God for, a new home, your first home. Don't just be ruled by what the world says. He is Jehovah Jireh, and he will supply all your needs according to his riches and his glory. Amen? But you've got to be willing to put in the work. You got to pass the test. You got to be good at what you have. Amen? If this message spoke to you today in all of our campuses, everybody online, and you're just saying, Steve, I just know God's got new ground for me. Going into a new year, I believe God has new ground for you. I believe it's true even as a church in what you're going to see and what you're going to do as a church collectively. There's new ground. And if you say, Steve, today, that message speaking to me, there's some new ground I believe God has for me. I just want to pray for you. Whatever that is, lift your hand. I want to pray all over the building. Amen. So many people. Father, I thank you that your word says, if we are willing and obedient, we will eat the best of the Lamb. And I just believe, Father, your word will not return to you void, but will accomplish that which you set it out for it to do. So I'm just believing for every hand that's raised, whether it be healing, whether it be, Father, a miracle, whether it be, Father, a marriage that needs healing, whether it be for a lost loved one. Lord, in the name of Jesus, for new ground in every area of people's lives whose hands are raised, I thank you, breakthrough is coming. I thank you, Lord, for the passing of tests. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to elevate our thinking in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand for that.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. I trust you're encouraged by this incredibly powerful word. You know, you've always got a place to call home here at Life, and I want to encourage you to join us in one of our campuses in Auckland or Tauranga, or why don't you join us at Church Online. To find out more about Life and to stay connected with us, why don't you visit lifenz.org.